The pride, passion, and pageantry of college football lives here. This is the Paul Feinbaum Show, Hour 3 Podcast.
What is up, y'all? Welcome back to the Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns sitting in for Paul. Follow me on Twitter, at Peter Burns ESPN. We got AC, Michael, Sean, Jay, Shay, Bill, all of you on hold. We're going to get to your phone calls in a little bit. We could talk Ole Miss being in the College World Series Final, talk about college football, talk a little name, image, or likeness, whatever you want. But right now, we're going to talk about the NBA draft that went down last night. Jonathan Givony joining us right now. Jonathan, did I say the name right? I know you has Draft Express on Twitter, but how many times do people butcher your name and did I just do it just then?
You nailed it. I'm impressed.
Let's
well
go.
Done.
Let's go. I think it took me 9 times in the commercial break, but I finally got it. I would have put $9 million on, you know, Jabari Smith being the overall number one pick. It kind of felt like it was trending that way. The stud for Bruce Pearl's Auburn Tigers. What in the world happened there of going 3 to the Rockets?
Yeah, we're also still trying to figure that out ourselves. It was, you know, certainly a surprise to Jabari Smith, as you could see on the broadcast. Mm-hmm. It was a surprise to Paolo Banchero, and it was a surprise to all of us who project the NBA draft for a living. But, you know, when you hold the number one pick like the Orlando Magic did, you're free to make any choice you want. So that's the decision they decided to go. And to be honest with you, I can't really fault them. Paolo Banchero is a tremendous talent. He can do absolutely everything on the offensive end. He can handle the ball. He can pass it off a live dribble. He's a dynamic shooter. He's lethal in the low post. He can go get you his own in the mid post. He really is a complete player. And so if the Orlando Magic decided they want to build their offense around Paolo Banchero, you got to respect that.
It was, again, there was a lot of odds that changed when and Woj had tweeted out going, we might have a little bit of movement. Now, for not only for Bruce Pearl's squad, okay, you see Jabari go 3, but then Walker Kessler, who ended up transferring in, had a great season. He gets in the first round as well. How much of this do you think is going to move the needle for SEC schools as far as getting more first-round draft picks, or does it really even matter?
I think the SEC is already at the top of the food chain and when it comes to recruiting high school players, when it comes to the transfer portal. And this is, you know, this night just reiterated that. I mean, it's the strongest level of competition in college basketball. It's an absolute war on a nightly basis. It's the best athletes, some of the best coaches. It really, really has, become very similar to football in that regard. And that, you know, all the talent goes through the SEC.
And we see it in baseball, we see it in softball and a lot of other places, but in basketball, it's starting to get a whole lot better. Very intriguing story about Shaedon Sharpe, right? There's a lot of people that wondered, was he going to play when Kentucky struggled a little bit? Was Cal going to give him a look? Went back and forth, and honestly never really got to showcase his skills, but it didn't cost him. What does that do to the sport if – he can make that decision, sit on the bench, and still goes top 10 in the draft?
Well, he was the number one player in his high school class. So there's really only a handful of guys that get to make that decision on a year-to-year basis. You know, you saw a guy like Darius Bazley a couple years ago. He was a top 10, 20 recruit, decided to, you know, spend his year off training and working at New Balance. Then he was a top 20 pick also. So if that's a route that players want to take, then, I mean, the NBA, they'll go look under every rock for talent. And Shaedon Sharpe is not lacking for talent. We're talking about a guy who is 6'5½", 7-foot wingspan, more than a 40-inch vertical, one of the most dynamic shooters in the draft, tremendous finisher. I mean, he went out and really worked his way into being a top 10 pick, struggled in workouts early. This was kind of his college season. You know, tough start in November, and it just got better and better as the process moved on, to the point that he was really kicking some butts in competitive action in his late workouts. He did it in Portland and right in front of Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard pointed at that guy and said, I want him. You know, I'm 32 years old. I need to win now, but I want a talent like that. Let's go. Bring me this guy, and this could be my successor 2 or 3 years down the line.
Yeah, it's amazing right now, too, in the NBA, more so than probably any other sport, is that players can be the basically de facto GM. And if you've got Dame saying, I want that guy, they're going to try to keep Dame happy to make sure he doesn't go elsewhere. Talking with Jonathan Givony right here over from Draft Express. All right, so with that being said, Kennedy Chandler was so much fun to watch here in the SEC. Thought he was going to be a first-round draft pick. What happened?
Well, he's 5'11". That's what happened. You know, I mean, it was a long stretch of 2 months of playoffs, and you know, all these GMs and presidents, decision makers, executives, they're sitting down every single night, and they're just not seeing a lot of 5'11" guys being able to survive in an NBA playoff game. And that's where I think that hurt Kennedy, because there aren't that many players that size who have already made it. But what I think people are missing the boat on with him is, he can really, really defend. Most times when you're 5'11", mm-hmm. you're a traffic cone on defense. Kennedy Chandler was one of the best defenders in the toughest conference in college basketball. This guy is an absolute ball hawk. He's tough as nails. He played in all these multi-guard lineups, was able to stay with wings. And the kid is 19 years old. He's only going to keep getting better and better. So I do think that NBA teams missed the boat on Kennedy Chandler. He's the quickest player in college basketball last year. He got anywhere he wanted on the floor. And just the improvement that he made in the last 2 months of the season was astounding. So I was very surprised that he fell to the 38th pick. But the Memphis Grizzlies, his hometown team, got an absolute steal. And so now it's time for him to prove that they all made a mistake, all these 29 teams that passed on him.
Yeah, the proverbial chip on the shoulder, although it's that chip is on the 5'11 shoulder, and I think he'll still do pretty well. Last question for you. I love what NIL has done for the sport of college hoops, because it feels like more and more in this last season we saw guys returning. How big of a change is NIL going to be for this sport, specifically for the SEC?
I think it's huge. I mean, we saw a lot of guys like Armando Bacot and Hunter Dickinson, Caleb Love return to college. I don't think that happens, for not in the NIL era, but I still think we have some room to make up. A guy like J.D. Davison, for example, he would have made a ton of money next year at Alabama had he stayed. He decided to enter the draft. He stayed in. He goes 53rd pick of the draft. That's disappointing to me, and I think that's disappointing to him. And so I still think that there's some room to grow here in terms of the information gathering process and how the NBA, tells players, like maybe you should be waiting another year, I used to say, listen, you have a short career. There's only that much time to make money. If you can go, and you'll play somewhere and you'll make money. But now with NIL, I mean, J.D. Davison is a $500,000 player, if not more. So I do think he might be sitting there at home right now wondering, did he make the right choice?
It's one that Oscar Tshiebwe was probably struggling with, and Oscar Tshiebwe is probably going to make a dollar or two over there in Lexington when he returns. Jonathan, great stuff as always, man. We appreciate the time, all right?
Thanks for having me. Have a great day.
There it is. You can follow Jonathan over on Twitter at Draft Express. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Let's get in and go down to the Sunshine State. We're Florida. What's up, Jay? How you doing, man?
Great. How about you?
I'm doing good, man. It's a Friday. I haven't seen my kids all weekend long. So I, because I've been in Omaha. So I'm kind of looking forward to seeing them. I miss them. But it was nice to be able to sleep in, not hear the chaos in the morning.
Yeah. The Gators, I think, have probably the toughest four-game start to any college football team.
In Billy Napier's first year, how worried are you as you look at it? Of course, the Utes have been fantastic. Then got to go, at least it's at home against Kentucky. South Florida hasn't been great. But I can see, are you thinking 1-2 in those first couple of games there?
2-1 is what I'm hoping for. But I can easily see 3-0 if Richardson breaks out and the running back room seems very promising.
Mm-hmm.
As long as the defense doesn't screw it up for us.
I will say this, and follow my logic here, Jay. Thank you for the phone calls. We see about Florida. I think Florida and LSU are in two very interesting spots, right? Both have first-year head coaches. And if you're LSU, you're always going to be looking at Billy Napier because he was right in your backyard. You could have gone over there and had to make the first phone call, but Scott Woodward said, no, I'm going bigger than Billy Napier. So those two schools are always going to be linked. I am curious, though, with what Florida is trying to do and what LSU is trying to do are a little bit different. And what I mean by that is I think LSU needs to hit the ground running faster than Florida does. Because I think for LSU fans, especially opening up against Florida State in New Orleans, it's about winning over that fan base right now, right? It's about, hey, listen, my family, all that stuff about Brian Kelly, I don't care what you say, are you going to be able to win here right now? I think for Florida, I'm a little bit more patient with Billy Napier because I think he needed to do what Kirby Smart did when he first took over in Athens, which is goes, Scott Strickland, AD, I need this, and this, and these five things if we want to compete. That doesn't happen overnight. I think they have that at LSU, okay? I don't think they have the background that they had at Georgia. Kirby Smart asked for it. He got it. They won a title. Alabama and Nick Saban was the first person to do that. Like, it's not the X's and O's that makes Nick Saban so brilliant. It's the back office, right? It's the structure of it's the foundation. It's the process, all of that. The stuff that goes behind the scenes is what makes Nick Saban so successful on the field. Kirby saw that and built the same exact thing. I met with Billy Napier of the SEC spring meetings, and everything he told me, he's like, during the pandemic, I wrote down, I had a note card, and I said, if I was going to do this, and I wanted the greatest, you know, weight and strength conditioning stuff, he called the top five guys, and he learned. All right, equipment managers, top five guys that he thought, and learned. And he took all that information and gave it to Scott Strickland. And Scott, from all purposes I've heard, said, okay, let's do this. That takes time. So if I'm a Florida Gator fan, 1-2, 2-1, I'm patient because it's the back end stuff that's going to make Florida great again, not necessarily these first three games of the season.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Swimsuit? Check. Sunscreen? Check. Phone charger? Check. Don't forget to pack the 5-Hour Energy. It fits great in a pocket or carry-on, and the alert feeling will help you arrive ready for anything. Now get 20% off when you use code 5HETRAVEL at 5HOURENERGY.com. Expires April 30th. One-time use only. Not valid with other discounts. Remember, visit 5HOURENERGY.com and use code 5HETRAVEL to save 20%.
Welcome back, Paul Feinbaum Show. Peter Burns in for Mr. Paul Feinbaum today. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Occasionally you have greats, and occasionally at some point they decide, you know what, for whatever reason, they step away from the game. Barry Sanders did it at the top of his career. You could argue that Brett Favre did it time and time again. Tom Brady just did it. And then Michael Jordan came back wearing the 4-5. And, sometimes there was success at post-re-retirement and sometimes there wasn't. But it's always interesting when this man is unretired. Jim, thanks for joining us here on the Paul Feinbaum Show. Hello, Jim.
I'm just a young guy, Peter. I'm just a young, ambitious guy trying to make it, you know, like you do every day. Mm. But you know what? I want to respond to Debbie, sweet Debbie, the lady that called, Alabama lady, talking about the old fool monkey, I man. Look, Debbie, you're a sweet lady. Let me tell you something. I learned very early in life playing ball because I could play good, they were jealous, just like this fool. This is nothing but an old, inept, ugly fool. You see his picture? He's a dirty old man. Debbie, don't let him bother you. Here's what I learned very early in life. If you can do, you do, and that speaks for you. Those that can't do, all they can do is talk. Do you notice, Debbie, all that fool can do is talk, and that's all he's ever done? He can't back up anything. He's an air-conditioner man, so I'm not knocking air conditioner, but he sounds like he's been smoking Freon for about 10 years or 15 or whatever it is. He looks like he's about 80 years old, and he talks like he's about 90, and he's just an inept old fool, Debbie. Don't let him bother you. That's all they can do is talk. Just like you think, Debbie, he can't, or none of these people like him can lay a glove on Nick Saban or on me. That's all they do. You got Legion, you got iMonkey running their mouth because they can't play. They got no game, Debbie. And I love your call a while ago, about 30 or 40 minutes ago. That's all I want to let you know. Don't let it worry you. Is that all right, Peter?
Yeah, Jim, that was short and succinct, and you crush it. Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you so much.
There you go, Jim responding. Jim to another Jay on the hotline. Jeff in Columbus, you wandered into quite the conversation day here. How are you?
Good. What's going on, Peter Byrne?
I'm fired up, man. I'm back in town. I was in Omaha all week long. It felt like it was the SEC baseball tournament for the eight teams. And then, of course, now Ole Miss going on that underdog run right now, two wins away. I'm in a good mood, my man.
I'm sure. Hey, does your wife ever hear you in your sleep say SEC in your sleep, Peter?
Probably.
I think you're on a bonus plan. If you say SEC about 900 times a day, you must get a pay raise. I mean, you like those letters, don't you?
I like greatness, Jeff. And like, I love how people, and Jeff, you're not the only person to do this, right? I see this in my Twitter account all the time. Oh, how can you pull for the SEC? How can you pull for this and that? And how many times you say SEC is great? Well, first of all, they are great. But second of all, you got to realize I'm a sports fan. Like, the only reason why I'm in this industry is I won a contest in 2002 to be a radio show host for a day. Like, and since that day, I have been living my dream. So I'm never going to apologize about legitimately having my dream job. So, yes, I'm all in on it, my friend.
All right, man. I just give you a little grief. Hey, my two upsets, Peter, are Ohio State over Miami in football for the Natty and NC State over Houston in basketball. To me, those are two tremendous upsets on the big stage. You know what I mean?
Jeff, when you look at that, was that the pass interference call? Was that 02?
Yeah.
In Miami?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that.
I think it was 01, but yeah. Because Miami was loaded.
Loaded. Absolutely loaded on that team. And, I mean, obviously Ohio State has always had a lot of success, but what a title like that right around the turn, you know, turn of the millennium did for recruiting and to kind of start, you know, kind of widening the gap between the Buckeyes and the Wolverines as well.
Right. Hey, Peter, I wanted to touch a little bit. I wanted to call Paul yesterday but ran out of time. But I wanted to talk to you today a little bit about Title IX. Did you – I refresh my memory. I know you played golf, but did you play at LSU or another school, Peter?
No, I wasn't good enough for LSU. I played at University of Texas San Antonio. So I played there. I was a regular.
I got you.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, our family and especially my daughter were blessed with the Title IX, getting a full scholarship in the SEC to play tennis. So I've got a real, feel for what the Title IX for the women is all about. I witnessed it firsthand. Was a tremendous experience. But, you know, when Title IX came about, Peter, don't you agree that most schools, unfortunately, drop men's programs to be Title IX compliant? I mean, that's a fact. Don't you agree?
I don't know the history of it, but it would make sense at that point where they're going, all right, well, how do we make sure that we're compliant to these numbers? And they looked at what probably sports were not generating revenue.
Well, because I've touched on this with Paul a few times, and it kind of bothers me a little bit because all your college administrators and your conference commissioners like to come on shows like this, like to go in press conferences and say how great it is college athletics give all these kids opportunities and chances. But what drives me crazy, fortunately, at my alma mater, Ohio State, we did not drop men's sports when Title IX came about. We added women's sports. Mm-hmm. That's why if you look at most athletic websites, Peter, Ohio State's got like 30-plus sports, men and women, where most schools in the SEC and the ACC have like less than 20 total sports, okay? Well, now that all these schools are printing money left and right, why aren't they adding more men's sports and women's sports if they really believe in opportunity? I know why they're not, and they won't come out and admit it. It's because they're putting all their investment back into the cash cow of football. And that's what amazes me, that the Buckeyes can even compete financially with the SEC and these other schools in football when it comes to coaches' salaries, assistant coaches' salaries. Just think, if you have double the sports, that AD's got to pay attention to all those costs. But why doesn't Alabama have a men's soccer team? I would be upset if I was an alumni of Alabama and my kid couldn't even consider that school or couldn't consider Georgia. That's sad. There's money out there, but they don't want to add sports. Do you have any feel for that, Peter?
Jeff, what's interesting, and I really don't because I don't know the history of it, but it brings up an intriguing point, and I'm going to take it and further it one step more, is the fact that we've talked about, and I brought it up earlier in the show today, that there are politicians that stick their head in kind of the name, image, and likeness part right now and saying, hey, well, this is going to be a whole lot easier if the schools just make the student-athletes employees. And what I fear, Jeff, is what you're talking about to a certain extent nationwide, that if that becomes a real thing, that if student-athletes are listed as employees, like how some politicians want, well, then you're going to have a lot of schools that look at this and then go, all right, we'll make them employees, but these 30 different sports or these 8 different sports, they are loss leaders. They don't generate revenue for us. So if you're going to run an athletic department like a quote-unquote business with employees, well, you're not going to have a bunch of employees running a division that doesn't make any money. And that's what I'm worried about right now. Because you're right. I mean, my daughter's 4.5 years old. I want her to be able to play women's golf or play tennis or play whatever she wants. And I want her to have those opportunities. If it is more of a quote-unquote business aspect of it, how many opportunities are still going to be out there if they're listed as employees? I don't know. Thank you for the phone call, though. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. More your phone calls, more your tweets here. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
Is your schedule too packed to see a doctor about your erectile dysfunction? Well, with Hims, now you can get treated for ED without stepping foot outside your door. They're changing men's healthcare by providing access to affordable sexual health treatments from the comfort of your couch. Hims provides access to doctor-trusted ED treatment options such as chewable hard mints, brand name treatments like Viagra, or generic alternatives for up to 95% cheaper. The process is simple and entirely online. Just answer a series of questions and a medical provider will determine the right treatment option. If prescribed, your medication ships to you free, no insurance needed. So what are you waiting for? Join the hundreds of thousands of trusted Hims subscribers and get treated. Start your free online visit today at Hims.com/Paul. That's Hims.com/Paul for your personalized ED treatment options. Hims.com/Paul. Hard mints are chewable compounded products which are not approved by or verified for safety or effectiveness by the FDA. Prescriptions require an online consultation with a healthcare provider who will determine if appropriate. Restrictions apply. See website for details and important safety information. Subscription required. Price varies on product and subscription plan.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to Amazon.com/ESPN Pods. That's Amazon.com/ESPN Pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, Alyssa Lang started our coverage. I came in for middle relief in Omaha, and the closer has showed up. Dari Noka, David DeLucci, Todd Walker will be out there. A pregame show coming up Saturday, 6:30 p.m. And remember, right after the final out, you can catch a postgame show. We do interviews with the coaches. It's been fantastic. We had Dylan DeLucia earlier this week in left field with us, and he was fantastic. After he had a really great first appearance over in Omaha, he came on set with us and said, hey, what are you going to do in your off day? He was so excited, not because he had thrown like 7 1/3 and 8 strikeouts. He was so excited because he was going to go to the Omaha Zoo. Like, and you realize that we talk about all these big stories and millionaires and billion-dollar television contracts, whatnot, and you get a kid like Dylan DeLucia, who arguably had one of the greatest performances we've seen in College World Series history yesterday, right? He's thrown 16 2/3 innings. He hasn't walked somebody, not a single soul. He throws an absolute gem in Omaha to get his team to the College World Series finals, and he's just a kid. And I was having dinner last night with Todd Walker and all those guys, and Dylan DeLucia just walks in. Now, and all of a sudden, everybody just stood up. And it wasn't just adults, it was kids. And I thought what was really cool is I posted this picture of Dylan DeLucia, and everybody wanted to take a picture with him. Those kids right there, they're not Ole Miss fans. They're not even SEC fans. That's a team from, I think, Southwich, Connecticut, that are just baseball fans. And they just saw one of the most dominant performances ever, and they wanted to take a picture with Dylan. I don't think Dylan has million-dollar deals. I don't even know if he has a name, image, and likeness deal. He probably should have one right now. But that's what college sports is about, and that's what the College World Series is about as well. I will tell you this. If you do like college baseball, you got to make the pilgrimage over to Omaha at least once. Try to go on that opening weekend. It's just it's kind of like the purest of pure sports. And I don't know how much of purity we have in college sports any longer. In Omaha, it feels that way. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Earlier, we had a phone call from, I want to say it was Terry or somebody like that, and Teddy, that was talking about Auburn, and he complained about Alabama, and Jake was in the call or in the car with him. Jake, you have called back. What's going on?
You asked me what the final score is going to be, Peter Burns, and I couldn't get my word in. He snatched the phone from me.
Well, I thought I had asked you, the Alabama fan, what the Iron Bowl score was going to be. And then I heard it was like Auburn 42, Alabama 35. And I go, well, wait a minute. I don't think Jake's making that prediction. So, Jake, what is your actual true prediction?
Hell no, I didn't make that prediction. He's one of these delirious Auburn fans that thinks every year is going to be Auburn's year. And anyway, Alabama 52, Auburn 0. You heard it here first. Brian Harsin probably ain't going to be their head coach by then. Them boosters going to be done. Bought him out. Roll Tide.
I figured I was going to get a Roll Tide roll, at least a roll on the back end. Jake, thanks for giving us a phone call there. Starkville, we go. What's up, Bill? How you doing, man?
Peter, is it my turn?
Yes, it absolutely is. The floor and stage is yours, sir.
Well, you know, and instead of, oh, man, I want to go Peter Burns, and all that.
Love it.
Just to entertain you.
It was good. It was a good impersonation.
And just to remind you that I go back far enough that when you came home, she took everything out of the house.
That was, yes, that has happened in my life, Bill. One, for those who don't know, I showed up after a trip to Las Vegas, and my wife of 5 years had just gone.
From the Denver thing and everything. And mm-hmm. I just go, every time I know you're out, I mean, I didn't bring it up for that as much as to say, I go back this far. Just to say.
I appreciate that, man.
You know, because you know I love you, and that's the main thing. Because I know at least when you're on, I can get damn through. And these old coots are finally, oh, we don't want to talk to him. And I'm appreciative. And then I just want to say, having added to it, no, you're an LSU person. What it's interesting to have LSU and Mississippi State baseball not be a part of what's going on right now, as far as that's concerned. But I just want to say in this dark horse thing,
mm-hmm.
Now, Peter, Mike Leach has got more in his holster than you bad boys ever have got any idea about.
All right, sell me on it, Bill. Why should I be all – because I'm trying to figure out the second best team in the SEC West right now. I do think it's Alabama
top. But I had somebody go to me, well, Bill, do you think we're going to win the West? I said, hell no. But we can be second or third. And it's all about, this is now his third season.
Mm-hmm.
He's got a great defensive coordinator from the West Coast. You got 8 players back on both offense and defense. It ain't their first barbecue. We've got a home schedule. I mean, you can put it up on the screen and look at it, and you go like, okay, Memphis at home, at Arizona, who knows who they are, LSU, your home team, who are they going to be? And Bowling Green.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's room there, and you know, Sam Pittman, he's really good. But his quarterback ain't any better than Will Rogers is.
Bill, what's interesting to me, and I want to build upon that real quick, man, is that when you go watch Mike Leach in the years that he's had, every single second year and third year that he's had has gotten a little bit better, right? When he was in Lubbock, I was
That's
living
right.
in Texas.
That's right.
He got better because his recruits came in. They learned his system. Same thing at Washington
right.
State. Now in Starkville, he gets a chance to do that, and he doesn't have to replace his quarterback. I'm 100% with you right now. It's a huge year for him in Stark Vegas.
And now we've got the toughest damn schedule other than Sam Pittman saying they got the toughest schedule, and I get it. There's no argument. We're the ones that play Georgia and Alabama and Auburn and blah, 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 and all that kind of stuff. But with third year in, and we got some players that left, but we got some transfer players too. I'm only going to do this, Peter, just for you. Miss Lane Kiffin and her pink tutu has got everybody all worked up. But let's just see how they work it out. Because when you got a bunch of new players, let's see how it works out. I mean, unlike Lane Kiffin, Mike Leach has gone and he's got, let's see, what did he do in the transfer portal? He got defensive backs. He got defensive tackles. He got offensive tackles. And he got some linebackers. And they ain't the glamour signees to add to what he's got. So, by the way, I'd go to Mike Anderson's with you anytime.
My man. Bill, thank you. I'll never turn down a Mike Anderson trip. You know that. Get some fried crawfish over catfish.
I know.
It is great.
I just thank you for letting me do my part of. I could never do this with Paul because he'll guffaw the whole damn thing, and it's always because Mike Leach won't come on the show with him. Did you know that? Are you aware of that?
Bill, I'm appreciative of your phone call today. Thank you, buddy. I will say this: every time I talk to a coach about Mike Leach, and I know that they're going to go face him the upcoming week, they're not comfortable. They're not, right? Because they already know what's coming. They just don't know how to stop it. And I think that's the one thing that's so interesting and intriguing to me about what Mike Leach does. It's pretty much the same thing that he's been doing at Texas Tech, at Washington State. People have seen it. They know it. There's tape. It exists. And yet you try to stop it and you just can't. That's impressive that he's been able to do it for that long. It's still one of the most brilliant minds in all of college sports and pretty interesting whenever he does social media as well, too. 855-242-PAUL is the number. More your tweets and your calls coming up next. Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum.
You're listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast.
What's up, y'all? Peter Burns in for Paul Feinbaum. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number, or you can get through on Twitter at Peter Burns ESPN. We've been talking. One of the questions I asked earlier today was about different underdog stories. What's the best one? Because I think Ole Miss baseball right now is a hell of an underdog story, going from 7-14 with the chance to win the national title over the next 2 days. Michael in Augusta, what do you got for me, man?
Hey, man, I just wanted to tell you that I'm a big Bulldog fan, and you've always been a supporter of Stetson Bennett. He was always at his back, and even when everybody threw him under the bus and wanted to can him, and then he won us the national championship. I just want to tell you I appreciate that, and I want to know your thoughts on him this year. I think, you know, with having a whole year knowing he's the man, I mean, he's got to be working hard and spending more time with his three tight ends. I mean, what if they line up with five wide with three big tight ends? I mean, who's going to stop that? You know, I don't. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, between what you had Bowers and what he was able to do, and then, you know, Gilbert, now that he's, you know, in a good spot. I mean, again, just the confidence level. And I think, you know, what's happened with this whole Nick Saban and Jimbo chaos and name, image, and likeness and all these things, I think it's really actually helped the Georgia Bulldogs. There's really nobody's talked about them. right? In years past, all we would be doing on this show and across social media would be talking about Stetson Bennett, what's going on? There's so much pressure to repeat. And I feel like they've, in a weird way, Michael, they've gone kind of underneath the radar this year, which can't be necessarily a bad thing.
Yeah, you're right. And, I mean, even on defense, I mean, I think that we brought enough back. We'll have enough leadership. I think we're going to be good. I see us making it again to the championship game, you know, and having to beat Bama again. So we'll see how it all plays out. Michael, but I just want to tell you, I appreciate being on the Georgia team.
No, you got it, man. Yeah, and I called that at the beginning of last year. I said that 2020 was the year of Alabama. They were going to win the title. They did. LSU in 2019. And I said last year at the beginning that it was Georgia's title. They were going to win it. I said that at the beginning of the year, and I kept through it all season long. And Stetson Bennett was the guy. And sure enough, Kirby had a lot of tough decisions. And Kirby got a lot of hell for how he handled the Justin Fields situation. I get it, right? Jake Fromm was a leader on that team. We weren't in the locker rooms. And yeah, it's, you know, you can go back and go, well, he should add Justin Fields and what's going to happen. Guess what? Maybe the reason why you won a title was because you stuck with Stetson Bennett. He may not have been your first choice, but you had an opportunity to pull him in SEC championship game and even the early in the college football national title game, right? He looked really shaky in that first drive or two. He stuck with it. And guess what? He was rewarded with it. And now they had that first title since, what, you know, 1980. So it's a fantastic deal with them right now. I'm very intrigued to see what he's going to do coming up this season. All right, Elliot is in Ohio. What's up, Elliot?
Peter Burns, thank you for taking my call. I think the best underdog story is yet to come, and I think it's name, image, likeness, evening the playing field against the Mammoth Giant, the SEC. I think that it could be USC this year. I also want to ask you a question. What happened in Destin? What happened to all the news stories about the SEC pulling out? And why didn't they pull out and why?
Elliot, are you talking about the SEC removing it, like doing its own SEC playoff or
absolutely.
Something along those lines?
I mean, they're going to go it along. Sankey keeps telling us how he's in it for the greater football, but he's not. He's really not. And he's talking about – he's threatening the entire football nation of college football. It's a threat. It's a thug threat. Don't call it anything else. That's what it is.
Elliot,
let's call it what it is.
Elliot, you realize the SEC was not the ones that wanted to expand. They were fine at going at four. It was the other conferences, including the Big Ten, that had said, we need conference expansion. Let's look at it. So – they all pretty much agreed to what the extension, you know, the expansion was going to be to 12 teams. And then all of a sudden, after all this work, a bunch of conferences got upset that Oklahoma and Texas wanted to end up leaving the Big 12. And I guarantee you, had they made a phone call to the Big 10 would have said, hell yeah, we'll take you. And Greg Sankey did that. So, you know, the idea that, oh, they were going to have this threat of the college football playoff, I don't necessarily know it's a threat. It's just a reality at that point. The SEC doesn't need to expand. There's been two all-SEC national championship games right now with a limited fill of four. It's going to work for the SEC if there's four teams. It's going to work for the SEC if there's eight teams, if there's 12, if there's 16. It's going to work for the best teams in college football. And you talked about name, image, and likeness. I do give you credit there. I think it is good for the old school teams, right? Miami. I think Florida State can cash in. Look at what Lincoln Riley's doing in Southern Cal. And I think that's great for the overall health of college football. It's damn kind of boring if we continue to be this dominant and nobody goes after the throne right now. Bring on the competitors, right? But at some point, if you're going to be disingenuous about a college football playoff expansion and then try to blame the SEC, who didn't need the expansion but gave you the opportunity, come on. Everybody's better than that. Or maybe not. If you are, you can go ahead and just join us over here on the SEC, where it just means more. 855-242-PAUL is the phone number. Hit me up on Twitter, at Peter Burns, ESPN. Austin, Michael, Sean, Teddy, KC, we'll get to your phone calls coming up next as we get into our final hour of the Paul Feinbaum Show on this Friday.
Thank you for listening to the Paul Feinbaum Show podcast. The Paul Feinbaum Show airs weekdays on the SEC Network, beginning at 3 Eastern.